Kristen Shelvin, and this is the Mostly Mom Podcast. While my days are filled with many roles and responsibilities, Mostly Mom is my favorite title. We all have a story to share about finding goodness and beauty in our ordinary, everyday lives. So I'm taking some time to sit down with a fellow mom to discuss the good and the hard, the joys and the sorrows, what we are facing in our current season of motherhood, and the lessons we have learned along the way. I hope you are challenged, encouraged, and inspired by these conversations. Hi, Jillian.
Hi, Miss Kristen.
Thanks for coming on the Mostly Mom podcast.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you taking time to invite me to do this.
Yeah, we're going to have a good chat. I would love to start by having you just share your story.
Yes. So you could tell probably by the way I speak, my accent, that I am not a fully American. So I am an American citizen, but I was born on a small island in the lower eastern Caribbean called St. Lucia. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been there?
No, I would love to go, though.
Yeah. Have you heard of anybody who's been there?
Just people that have gone on vacation. Nobody that has lived there.
Okay. So for the first, probably 5 years that I lived here in the United States, nobody had heard of St. Lucia. So that every time I tell somebody I'm from St. Lucia, they're like, oh, is that a town in Jamaica? And I had a Jamaican friend, and I said to her, I think by now I'm Jamaican. Like, whatever it takes to be Jamaican, I'm now Jamaican. And she's like, oh, we'll adopt you. Anyways, I grew up as a cultural Catholic. And do you know what that means? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so for those who don't know, Catholicism is like the main religion on St. Lucia. So the schools were Roman Catholic churches. And I had no clue actually what that even meant. I don't think I was until I was in probably my first year of high school that I realized Rome was an actual place. So that's where it came from, Roman Catholic. So I did everything. I was cultural Catholic. I went to church on Sundays. I did what you called your first communion and did all of the liturgical stuff. And then I was 16. I graduated school at 16. And I was working for a gap year before I went to college. And this gentleman who was one of the security guards at that place asked me, where was I going to go when I died? And with all of the gusto and assurance that I could measure, I was 100% sure I was going to heaven. And he broke down the gospel and he showed me that I was a sinner. He asked me, it's like the Ray Comfort model, where he shows you the law and then he shows you that you are a guilty lawbreaker. Mm-hmm. So I was really, I had never heard the gospel presented like that ever before. And that really caught me because when he did tell me that I was definitely going to hell, I panicked. I was terrified because I'm terrified of fire, like terrified. Like every, up to a day like today when I cook, mm-hmm. I'm still thanking God that I don't go to hell. Anyways, which is a good thing to thank God for. Mm-hmm. But so when he started to tell me about this, I got confronted with my own sin. I actually did not see or understand that I was actually sinning against the holy God and my punishment was hell. For me, it was like, how do I get out of the punishment? So I entered into this place where I was getting out of the punishment and not understanding that the right response to a holy God is to submit yourself and to be 100% living for him. So, and also because they were what they call the oneness, holiness, Pentecostal people, they didn't believe in wearing jewelry or pants. And I was in the world. So I did not enjoy being a Christian. So with my friends, I was like doing all of the party stuff. And with the Christian people, I was trying to fit in. But it made me miserable. I knew deep down and I knew with every fiber of my being that I was supposed to. I had to live for Jesus. But I just didn't have any joy in it. Hmm. And I just was thinking to myself, if this is what it takes, like, I don't know if I could do this. But I was going to hold on because it was the right way. Well, fast forward, about 6 months later, there was a couple that the Lord had prepared and spoke to them. They were from Ohio, and the Lord, they were very, what we would call prophetic. And the Lord had told them to sell their house, go to St. Lucia. He gave them turn-by-turn directions to the hotel that I worked at. And the hotel that I work at is very, it's one of the, probably one of the most difficult places to get to. It's on a private road that looks like it leads to nothing. Mm. And they were able to get there. And with my back turned, the gentleman called me by my name.
Wow.
Yes. And then they started to speak into my life that God had called me to be a prophetess, that I was going to speak through the word of God to other people and bless them. And if I was going to listen and obey God, he was going to expand my horizons, teach me more about his word, and that he would put me in front of lots of people that I haven't met before. Well, first of all, that was like literally, I was making $5 an hour in mm-hmm. the Caribbean, 5 ECs, which is like $1.50 here. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't quite sure how that was ever going to happen. That might as well have been going to the moon for me. So I was like, okay. But I was very intrigued, though, about this story, like how much intention God had for me. I had known that God loves me, but I didn't understand that his love was the kind of love that requires and also pushes and draws and leads us to him. I just thought it was kind of like a one way. We love God on paper. Mm-hmm. If somebody asks you, do you love God? Yes. But I did not understand it was kind of like a relational kind of love like you would have with somebody that you're close to. Mm-hmm. So that like blew my mind. And it was kind of funny. I was thinking about this actually yesterday because there was other churches in my community. And when they started to see the changes in me, they asked me why I didn't come to their church instead, because they'd been talking to me about the gospel. And I'm like, no, because I really want to have like a personal relationship with God. And they were looking at me like, that's what we were offering you. I'm like, no. Like, he actually wants to be like in relationship with me. Like, you, like, I have a father now. And they were like, yes, that's what we've been offering you. But it didn't click.
It didn't connect until then.
Until then. Yeah. So it's like the person that has this great big revelation. Oh, my kids have this great big revelation. And I'm like, doesn't everybody know that?
That's what I've been telling you.
Yes. So fast forward, these people really, they were very big on discipleship, very big on knowing the word, very big on prayer and fasting, very big on spiritual disciplines. It was like having a Navy SEAL course on spiritual identity and leadership and everything. And they were very much about spending time in the presence of God. That was very new for me too, because with the Catholic Church, all you had to do was to go to the priest. And well, I'm not saying that's how it is for everyone. My experience mm-hmm. with my time in the Catholic Church was you show up, you did the standing and the kneeling, and you went for communion and you did all of that, and you went back and you did everything that you were doing before you went. But this one, it was like every day, every single day, like my heart was being touched about something. My heart was being pricked about something. I was learning so much. And then I started to really experience the love of God. I was just like, whoa. Like one day I was reading, because I was telling God before that, I was telling God, like, I didn't really grow up with my dad. My dad, I was the product of an adulterous affair. So I was kind of like this thing that was hidden in shame. Mm-hmm. And my dad was not a very good father because he himself did not have a great example. His dad left his mom. So mm-hmm. it's just a cycle mm-hmm. of sin repeating itself. I personally had a great love for him, and I understood his brokenness. So I don't blame him at all for the things that he did as mm-hmm. a dad. But I was asking God one day during the Bible reading times, like, I don't think I will ever get to love you like a father, because I'm not sure how that works. Mm-hmm. And of course, I can't see you, so I don't know. And I was reading in 1 John, and it says, and we love him because he first loved us. And that was another novel thing for me. I thought, like you said, liking people, and then you make your intentions clear, and then you decide if you're going to, you know, be in a relationship. But this relationship starts off like he already loves you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that is different.
Yeah.
So I started to weep, and I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I don't have to like love you right now. You already have this love for me. So I just had to like grow in who you've called me already to be. I was pre-made.
Yeah.
For a lack of a better term.
Yeah.
If you think of something better, let me know. Like, I was like pre-made to love God. So that started to click, and I wanted to spend time with Jesus, and I started to hear his voice and hear things through the word, like listening to Bible stories. And I loved testimonies, people's yeah. testimonies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that is so incredible. So my little like Catholic world of liturgy and going to the church and experiencing nothing, that's my experience, just like got shattered. Like all of these people, hundreds and thousands of people experiencing God on a personal, 100% natural and supernatural level, just was leaving my mind just wanting more.
Yeah.
Yes.
So go back to being a kid. Mm-hmm. Like what was life like on the island? Like, you have siblings, I think.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
So, like, what was home life like? You were going to Catholic church, but mm-hmm. going to Catholic school. Like,
yeah.
What was life like as a kid for you?
Well, I didn't actually find out until we moved to the U.S. that we were poor.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I always was very well fed mm-hmm. because of the lushness of the Caribbean islands. Everything is like a fruit tree or something you could yeah. eat. Yes. So, and of course, our entire street was family members or family mm-hmm. members that had married other people. So everybody knew everybody. And one of the most amazing things about my childhood that I'm experiencing, and I'm also very sad about my kids, was I had every single one of my cousins. I have memories and jokes and stuff with every single one of my cousins.
You got to grow up together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were each other's best friends.
Yeah.
Like our family, I didn't even realize that, you know, friendships they were secondary mm-hmm. outside of our family. Like, we were each other's best friends. So, yeah. And even right now, when we go back to the Caribbean every year, my kids, because there's so many cousins to choose from, all of their friends right now are cousins. And it's really sad because, you know, of the distance here in America. And I probably know about 4 or 5 people that have families that are yeah. here.
Yeah, it's a gift when you can be close.
Yes, it very much is, and very rare. It's very sad. It's like a rarity, especially here in Bozeman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I very rarely remember being in the house ever. Yeah, so we had a small house, like a tiny two-bedroom house. The living room also doubled as a kitchen. And we didn't have running water inside of the house. We didn't have indoor plumbing. And we didn't have big cupboards and stuff like that. We just had what we needed for right then and yeah. right there. But my mom did gardens, and she traded with my cousin, who was a seamstress for our uniforms. Hmm. Our other cousin had kids that were older than us, so we got all of their hand-me-downs. And my aunt was a teacher, so she helped us get all of our books and stuff. So I did not ever understand lack. Mm-hmm. But what we did understand was no waste. Like, there was no yeah. such thing as waste. Like, I remember, and that still happens when we go to the Caribbean, the trash cans takes like a whole week to fill up.
And here you can fill it up in a day. Easy.
Yes. Yeah. Which was so mind-boggling for me. And I realized, because everything was packaged.
Yeah.
In the Caribbean, you go and pick it, you peel it, you put it in compost, and that's that. You know, mm. very, very rarely did we get like stuff like tuna fish is so big in the Caribbean because it's an imported meat. Ooh. So it was like spam. Spam was very like high up there.
Fun.
Yes, that's because funny. It's imported, so everything is taxed more. So sure. As a poor person, what are you going to buy? Spam or go catch your own fish, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So how did you land in the United States?
Yes.
What's your story getting here?
Yeah, so I do believe it was the hand of God because there was a couple, like after the Lord had given me that prophetic word for this couple, there were four different people that offered me jobs. And mind you, I was 16, so that happened like probably, this is like a 1 year. And I did not really know about like testing everything and opportunities are not always God's purpose. But at that very young age, God's hand was so, so strong on me. Right after I got that prophetic word, all of these things started to happen to me. Hmm. There was this gentleman that owned a Hilton in Ireland and he wanted me to come work. I prayed about it, but I did not feel a settling in my spirit. So I said no. There was another very wealthy British family that really liked me and they wanted me to come and be their nanny for their two children. I felt about it. I thought about it. It just didn't work. And there's another family that was there that really liked me and they were going to help me to get to the UK and everything. And it just did not feel like it was what was right for me. And the fourth one was they were going to be building a new Ritz-Carlton hotel in St. Lucia. And this gentleman wanted me to, they wanted to help me to grow to be one of the kid club's managers. And again, that never happened. But even before I found out that didn't happen, I just felt in my spirit it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. This is unsettling. Funny thing is, there's this couple I came two or three times to the hotel.
The same first couple.
No, a different one.
Different couple.
So this is like the fifth one. So okay. For different experiences, and this the fifth one was the one I chose. This they had been coming to the hotel for a little bit, and they had a daughter, and I was in the kids club. They really liked me, and they wanted to have a baby, so they wanted me to come and be their nanny. It was a least paying one. I didn't even know that Kentucky was an actual place, because from the Caribbean we know four places in the U.S. New York, California, Chicago and Florida.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
That's Kentucky.
I know, Kentucky. So, in fact, when I was telling my friend about this, it's like, that's not even a real place. They're lying to you. So, that's how unpopular Kentucky was. It wasn't until after they brought Kentucky Fried Chicken. We didn't realize Kentucky was an actual place, you know? We thought it was a brand.
Yeah.
So then I prayed about it and I felt this peace. It was the least paying one. The one that sounded least promising. And also, it was just like, there wasn't like a lot of like incentive to go.
You didn't feel the excitement.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways. But turned out that the Lord is so good. I came up with them. I went to a Bible study. I met my husband, the most incredible person I know. And that was 16 years ago. And the rest, like they say, is history.
Yeah. So you met your husband. You guys have been married now. 16 years. Mm-hmm. You've got a handful of kiddos.
Yes.
Talk about what was early life like as a mom.
Yes. So coming out from, I was the product of an adulterous affair. My mom was a single mom. I didn't really understand the dynamic of like a nuclear family. Mm-hmm. It was always something that was fun. And I actually didn't know a lot of people who did it well. I'm just trying to think.
You didn't have a lot of examples of what a good marriage looked like.
No, because in the Caribbean, there's a very low marriage rate and a high divorce rate. Mm. So my husband, on the other hand, though, his life was his family. So his brother was his best friend and his mom and dad, they were his people. You know, they were like when he didn't go to friends and that kind of stuff. He also grew up on a ranch, that's half the size of my island.
Wow.
Yes. And all of his memories are with his family. So his family, like his best friend, his best man. Everything is his family. Whereas I had my extended family, it was his like actual nuclear family.
Which is interesting because you both grew up with family being everything.
Yes.
Your family just took up a whole street.
Yes.
And his family was a little smaller on this ranch.
There's the five of them. He has two brothers and his parents. And in fact, yesterday he was talking to me. He's like, oh man, I'm just so thankful for my dad. He was the best dad. He's talking about going hunting and all of the things that he learned. And honestly, when we got married, his dad wrote me a letter welcoming me into the family. And he's this big, tough cowboy. Hmm. It's very incredible. I love his parents so much. They actually made marriage life like this incredible tale. I sometimes feel guilty saying this, but marriage has been the easiest thing I have ever done. Being a mom, though. It was very easy until my kids started to talk and have their own ideas. I joke with my husband. I said, you know, if it wasn't for my kids, I'd be a great Christian.
Yeah, kids have a way of refining you, don't they? And bringing out your rough spots.
Yes. Yes.
Polishing off those rough spots mm-hmm. over the years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially since my oldest, who is 15, is almost exactly like me. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm learning a lot, very much so.
Well, it sounds to me like you have the gift of discernment, mm-hmm. right? So we talk about the spiritual gifts mm-hmm. that are listed in the Bible, like things that we're able to do or gifts that were given from the Lord that just help us. And we all have different, mm-hmm. different things, but you're really good. What I love about you, Jillian, is you're good at looking into a person and you see them. Mm. And you receive them really well, and you speak a lot of blessing over people. So I imagine that also has been how you've been as a mom. Mm.
My daughter might say differently. she really, my daughter is one of the strongest, most empathetic and just, but the empathy and the justice in her can sometimes seem like it's like she's wielding this double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So on one side, I get like, you're doing such a great job. On the other side, what you did was wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very much like me, very black and white and very strong-willed. And she knows very much how to see people, but also call out some things inside of me. Like each time I speak to her, I'm like, huh, Lord, is that really me? You know? Like last night, my daughter, my second one, was telling me about this story about how youth group had gone for her and how blessed she was. And my oldest came in and she's like, could you hurry up and be done? I need to tell mom how my day was. And I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like it's a very nice thing to say. And she felt like I should not have said anything. I should have just hurry up and be done like she had said in the first place. So my thing is trying to communicate very kindly that I think everybody's opinion matters. And sometimes the way that you say things kind of rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah. Yep. You have four. Is that right? Yes. So what's your spread? You've got 15.
And Benaya is 13. She's going to be 14. And Khalid, my only boy, my only begotten son, he is 13. Yeah, he just turned 12. And then Domine is 10. So in December, I will have 14, 15, and 11, 12.
Okay. And along the way, you've also homeschooled. Is that right?
Yes.
And are you still homeschooling everybody?
Yes.
Yes. How's that going?
You know, if I had a choice, I tell them every day, you guys better pray nothing happens to Dad because your butts are being hauled to public school. Yes, I honestly have never been so refined by anything in my life than homeschooling. Mm-hmm. I really have such a deep appreciation for teachers. Mm-hmm. And I give God praise that people will actually want to do this as a living. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I am learning every single day what it means to be a woman of virtue and integrity through homeschooling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Virtue and integrity
yes.
through your homeschool.
Yeah. Integrity. See, when God asked you to do something and you said yes, doing it even if you don't want to do it.
Yep.
And virtue as in developing inside of me, the fruit of the Spirit. Like, well, I think they just need to be like, they need to have a whole lot more sun, S-O-N, sunshine, and water of the word in them. Because sometimes I forget what I read in the morning, Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is, by 12 o'clock, it is a desert.
Yes.
Yes.
What's been a joy for you in mothering those four kids?
You know, this may sound contrary to what I just said earlier, but having them home with me.
Yeah. Two things can be true at the same time. You can love what you're doing and also... it can be the hardest thing that you're doing.
It really has been one of the hardest things I've ever done. But when we're done and we're like decompressed, having everybody like home, it's just so incredible. This is, I think, one of the reasons why, you know, everybody has a thing. Some families love having nice new cars. Some families love going camping. Some families love having shiny toys and buying the kids really expensive gifts. Our families is vacations. So we take the whole month of December off and we just do this big vacations. And because we just want to spend time with each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And you go back to St. Lucia every year.
Yes. Yes. So we go back to St. Lucia because, again, it's one of my kids' favorite thing is being with all of this family.
Yep.
And there's a lot of experiences that they don't have here. Like we have little tiny little stores on our streets. They never really experienced that, going to like tiny country stores and buying stuff and walking everywhere, right back and forth to our family. Like everybody around us is family members.
That's the best. Yes. Being able to just walk out the door. How big is the island? Remind
27
me.
Miles long and 13 miles across.
It's little.
Yes, little. Yeah.
So we've talked about the homeschooling being... you know, challenging, refining, but also you love it. Mm-hmm. So as you're homeschooling your kids, what's a specific joy that you find in that work?
Honestly, for me, because I didn't have a biblical grounding, it's very important for me to teach my kids about the Word of God, the stories of the Bible, the covenants in the Bible, who God is from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. I remember one point they were like, oh, Mom, we just feel like you're like pushing this too much and you're always talking about the Bible and this and that. And then they started to go out into the world and they realized, Mom, nobody in our class knew the Bible. Nobody in our youth group knew this stuff. Like we were the only ones. And I'm like, yay. So really learning how to help them see the heart of the Father without becoming Pharisees has been my really big thing that I've been holding together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my joy.
If you're a young mom caught up in diapers, dinners, and the daily grind, it's easy to forget that your soul needs care too. If you're an older mom who has raised a family and built a life, perhaps it's time to invest in yourself. Maybe you're new to the Bible, or maybe you're coming back to it after years away. Perhaps you're just ready to learn. Yellowstone Theological Institute believes that moms are leaders at home, at church, at work, and in the world. Programs at YTI are accessible to students from diverse backgrounds as they explore their faith through hands-on classroom learning, community involvement, and mentorship. Sit with trusted biblical scholars and mentors who value the weight and wonder of motherhood and learn the foundations of Christian theology in a warm, welcoming environment. Multiple academic programs are available. The Diploma of Christian Theology program arms students with a thorough foundation and includes 30 hours of classes. You can audit theological classes designed to encourage your heart, deepen your faith, and equip you to lead without the pressure of grades or papers. You can also pursue a Master of Arts or Master of Divinity degree, or one of several new certificate programs. Whether you're looking for spiritual formation, leadership development, or education, there's a seat waiting for you. You can explore current class offerings for the 2026 winter term at yellowstonetheology.org. Registration opens November 3rd, and classes begin January 12th. YTI would like to offer you a 50% discount on auditing any class you choose for the winter term. Your cost would be just $100. Simply go online to yellowstonetheology.org and register to audit a class, then email Melissa at ythi.org. That's M-E-L-I-S-S-A at ythi.org. Let her know your name, mention the Mostly Mom podcast, and your discount will be applied.
Describe a time when you had to change your mind or pivot on something.
Mm-hmm. Cell phones.
Say more.
Yes. I never wanted my kids. We don't have a TV in our living room.
Yep.
Because our house, the way that our house is set up, the main spot in our house is the dining room. The dining room table is the what we've given special attention to. So that people, when they come, like the spot that's drawn to and highlighted is the dining room. Our living room area, the main focal point of that is the piano. I've realized, and I was actually thinking about this morning, how, you know, when we go to different places, the way the house is set up, it's like pulls you to come and watch a show. Yeah. But in our house, it's set up, okay, let's go talk. So that has been one of my major loves about the way that our house has been set up. However, I didn't want our children to be with screens and that kind of stuff. But I understood, because of the way our world is going, I didn't want them to be also at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And they need to learn how to be able to navigate with cell phones and screens and that kind of stuff. Yeah. So my daughter started babysitting, and I'm like, okay, we're going to do phones. And boy, oh boy, a blessing and a curse. Because the phones are addictive.
Even if you lock them down and have lots of restrictions, they're just this little piece of candy sitting there.
Yeah, it is. And for those little brains and those little minds that are so inquisitive and curious, it is a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So your older daughter is the one that has a phone for babysitting. It's interesting how for so many girls, that babysitting piece is what lands them with having a phone. Yeah.
And of course she drives, so that's very important to me. Stalking her on Life 360. Yes.
I have this thing with my oldest where we just got a house rule. Like if you switch a house or switch locations or you're hanging out with friends and you go someplace else, just tell us. Just check in. You know, hey, I'm here, or hey, I'm here now. Mm-hmm. And she'll go for a walk sometimes, and I'll just ask, like, hey, where are you? You know, how long? And sometimes she'll say, well, you can just check the Find My iPhone app. Like, I don't want to check the app. I don't want to check Find My iPhone. Just tell me, like, where are you at in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Is there something that you've thought about or dreamed about doing for a long time?
I feel like I'm doing it right now. Like, I guess many people have different things that really draw and entice them into different things. I was talking to Maggie, our friend.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been praying about starting Food Supervise again, restarting it.
Yeah,
the two of us. And Maggie and I was like, okay, we're going to commit it to prayer. And it was so funny because that night I went to church. And there was this lady, she was going to somebody else, but his hearing aids were not working. So he directed her to me. She came, and she was a wife that was going through a lot. And God has, since that time, really knitted her and I together. And I have been doing Words for Wives. And I'm like, oh, that's what you were telling me to do. Restart Words for Wise. It wasn't go and do this big production. It was go and start speaking into the wives of lives again. The life of wives again. Sorry, I think I said it opposite.
That's okay. I knew what you meant. So yes. For listeners that maybe don't know what that was, Words for Wives was a local, I would say, ministry group that was connecting women together with speakers and some events that brought a lot of good advice and encouragement for women who were in marriages. And so it sounds like you got connected with a wife that needed some pouring into.
Yes. So just listening to what God says and not having those preconceived ideas was like, oh, I should probably go back. Maggie and I should start talking about what to do again. It's like, no, he just wanted me to restart doing this.
Be available.
Yes.
Eyes for the people in front of you. Yeah.
Yes.
What's a skill or a talent that you've always wanted to master?
Cooking.
Cooking.
Yes.
I have a feeling you are a pretty good cook already, Jillian.
This is my humble brag. Yes, I love cooking and making my signature charcuterie boards. So my charcuterie boards look different. You saw the one that I did.
Yes. I saw one of those boards. It was about as big as my dining room table.
That's my trademark is making them with those massive spaces and just having your eyes just like you don't know which way to start looking because your eyes are so feasting.
Yes.
Because they say in the Caribbean, half of the eating is in the looking.
It's so true. Like you can take macaroni and cheese and dump it in a bowl. Yeah. Or you can take macaroni and cheese and put it on a pretty white plate and it tastes better.
I know.
Right?
I know my friend Katie, she plates everything. And I'm like, I just don't have the time to plate everything, but I could do a big spread that's plated already and people just come and do it like that.
I used to plate dinners at my house ages ago. We don't do that anymore, but I used to do that. I loved, I loved it. So I get that. We're the same on that one. Mm-hmm. So I don't always love the word self-care, but it's an easy word to use. What does caring for yourself look like for you in the seasons that you've been in recently?
Honestly, prayer. Mm-hmm. Like making sure for me, I need 2 solid hours of Jesus and I time. So I wake up and the Lord's been so faithful because it's been a routine to wake me up just before my alarm. And he wakes me up and from 5 to 7, I get 2 solid, uninterrupted hours with the Lord. And that's been my thing.
That's how you care for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Funny thing, my daughter said to me one time, how do you spend so much time with God and you're just so mean to me? So mean to me sometimes. I'm like, this is the best version of me you can get, but I'm working on it. That's why I spend time with Jesus.
Yes. That's a good word. Yes. What is your biggest challenge right now?
It's navigating electronic devices. Like I really want to honor my kids with the things that they like. So we have rules. Like I believe that it's very detrimental because of things I've read and seen and a lot of scientific experiments. Mm-hmm. YouTube shorts are very detrimental to the brain and the way that your eyes and your brain interacts with even the colors on your phone and all that stuff. And I try to tell these things to my kids, but they're like, oh, but if we don't do this, then we won't be able to have anything to talk about with this person and that person. It's a whole different world. It really is, Kristen. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think I have kids who are really old souls and who have got kind of a crew of people around them too. Like we had this conversation last night where we were joking, like we could be Luddites and just go live off the grid, like all technology. Like one of my kids and I were talking about this. Mm-hmm. And then she said, yeah, but then we want to listen to music and the maps. And there's a reason we all have these tools and they are a tool.
Yes.
My battles are different, I think, with technology. It's movies. We like movies at our house. Mm-hmm. We love to watch a good show. Mm-hmm. So it's the restrictions of some of the fun. Like I've got a little designer kit, so designing things on an iPad, which I'm all for creativity, but there's a point where I'm like, okay, you guys need to, go outside and clean a bathroom and go take the dog for a walk. And so I don't know that I have the same. Mm-hmm. I don't think my kids have the same, like, just getting sucked in quite to the level that I've heard others do. But there's other things that we have to navigate.
Yeah, for sure. Yes, yeah, so that's my thing, is how to help them see it as a tool and not an addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's only my oldest, because my son will basically, I have to be very careful with him. No, 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 I want that, because he will redo my entire house, take everything that I own and make it into this amazing creation, which is amazing. But I really wanted my kitchen knife to be a kitchen knife, you know? Yeah.
So I have a kid who will do that, like redecorate my house. I'm like, I liked it the way it was before.
But can thank you put it you. Back?
Yeah, it's fun. We all have the things. So what are you looking forward to in this next season of life?
Actually, growing older. It's my favorite thing. Like every single year, like the first 5 years of my marriage, I said it could never get any better. I stopped at the 5 year because I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been lying each time. Every year it gets better. And I realized the thing that gets better is that my husband and I are growing older, growing wiser, you know. And my kids, Asleigh is 16. I'm not concerned about her leaving the house yet, too, because she loves shopping and she spends a lot of her money shopping. So she's not going anywhere soon. So so we are very much excited to spend time. They're so fun. The ages that they are right now are so fun. Having the conversations. My husband and I were talking about this, how the kids, they really yearn to have these deep conversations. I'm an 8 o'clocker. I need to be in bed at 8 o'clock. I am like face planting at 7:30. And they want to have this deep involved conversation. So I realized we just have to like strip back the busy and have these conversations a whole lot earlier, so that they don't feel like what they're saying is boring, because I'm like sleeping away at 8 o'clock. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and there's a thing about being middle age-ish, I think, where you get to a point where you're more comfortable with yourself and in your own skin and the things you know. Things you know you're good at, the things you know you're not. I think you, with the Lord, you get to a place of like, I'm good with who I am. I think you probably, not all of us, but some of us fight that a little bit in our 20s and our 30s. And we get to a point of comfort with who we are in our core.
You couldn't pay me to be 20s again. I think they were my most tumultuous years before I turned like 23, which is when I met my husband. I told him if I had it to do all over again, I'd just skip the whole thing. I'd come sit at the ranch and wait for you. He's like, that would be very creepy and I'd probably never marry you then.
It happened the way it was supposed to, right?
Yes.
What is a really great piece of advice that you've received along the way?
You have heard so many times, and I hear it all the time when I go to baby showers, you don't have to take the advice of anybody. Just do what feels like good to you in the season. Honestly, every time I hear somebody say that at a baby shower or wedding, I always correct them, because one of my favorite verses in Titus 2, that the older women will teach the younger women. There is mistakes that I'm not making right now, will not make, because I speak to every other older person. Sometimes young people have great advice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's trash. But I literally, because I do not believe that God put us on this earth as a body so that I can know everything. I tell people all the time, you don't have to make those mistakes. People are like, oh, make mistakes. But you don't really have to. Like, you really don't have to. God really wants us to, like, walk in stride, because he says the things that are written before, they're written for our learning. I don't have to go and learn how to burn my pants before I learn how to cook. I could just learn from a good cook, you know?
Yeah.
So my favorite thing is, one piece of advice is, always take advice. Humble yourself. Listen to what somebody else has to say. You might just have saved yourself like a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's why I like that question, because I get to walk away. Every week I walk away from this podcast with a great nugget and another little just gem of wisdom from all these gals that I get to talk to. What's a piece of, terrible advice that you've received?
You got this on your own. you just do whatever you feel is right, you know, just figure it out. I just don't think God made us to figure it out. Not even the Holy Spirit. He didn't even drop us here on this earth and be like, figure it out. No, he's like, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit.
Give you a helper.
Yes. Yeah. Helper. The word ezer is what the wife is called, a helpmate. The same word that's used for Holy Spirit. And God, from the beginning, is into helping us. You know, he gave the man help. He gave the woman help. He gave the children help, you know. He was thinking about all of these things and how the ultimate sacrifice of coming to help us get out of our fallen state and into the kingdom. God is all about help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So anybody telling you not to accept help or you got this, I just don't think that's the heart of the Father for us.
Well, and talking about getting older, right? The older we get, the more we realize we don't have this figured out. And we do need a lot of help.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
I do. Right there. Yeah. What's one thing that you wish you could have done differently?
Marry my husband sooner. But practically, I really, really felt like I should have really been around more women when I was having babies. We were in Michigan, and it was a lot of young people that had all of these great ideas that were untried. It was all of my husband's college girlfriends, you know. They had great advice, but it was just not practical, you know. So I just wished at that time that I was able to be around women that were having children already. My mom became a great asset for me. Very, very amazing. I think having kids drew us really, really close together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So being around more women that had children that could help you and mentor you and take care of you while you were having your babies.
Yes. Yep. Sometimes, like, they don't really have to say anything. You just look at, oh, I really want that. Oh, I'm never going to do that, you know? Sometimes the only thing you could learn from somebody is don't ever do that, you know?
It's true. What is something that you wish you could have known earlier on?
Because of the way I grew up, and it was so women dominated because the men were not there so much. There was this false, it's not the kind of feminism that we have here in the United States. It's the feminism of the women's got this, like, you just do it. Like, you don't really need the man's input. You don't really need that. But it's not the kind of, like, the man hating kind of feminism. It was the survival mode feminism. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you didn't really have a lot of men.
You didn't have a lot of men around.
Yes.
And so women had to do all of these things.
But it's not the man hating feminism.
Right.
Yes. I think it was like the men loving too much feminism and they're loving the wrong kind of man, you know? That got them in trouble. So one thing I really learned, I wish I had learned, was how to really honor a man. Because this sounds really bad, but my husband literally taught me that, how to honor a man. Like, he's the one that taught me how to do that.
Yeah, it sounds like he had a good dad and was able to demonstrate to you what it looks like to be a good husband and a good man and take care of his family.
Yeah. And I wish I did it. I wish I came into the marriage learning how not to be angry as my first response. Like, so my husband, like, if I ever say something, it's like, oh man, I'm really sorry that I hurt you that way. I will definitely see how I'm going to find out what exactly you like. And every time that he did it, like, it kind of just broke down this like wall of like having to defend myself. Mm-hmm. So now, like, if we ever have an argument, because I know he's always the first one to run back, I make it in my mind, I am going to be the first person to apologize. I'm going to be the first person to like make amends, because he is so like, he doesn't have guile in him. And I didn't learn that. If somebody did something to you, just be very immediately angry with them. Because they were always in survival mode.
Yeah.
But my husband was like, oh, they probably did that because they were upset. And I'm like,
Yeah, it sounds like he's very generous and very warm and welcoming. And that was a sweet place to land.
Yes.
Coming from everything that.
But I wish I didn't have to learn that from him. I wish like I was that wife for him from the beginning. But he still thinks I'm pretty awesome.
Yes. What steadies you and grounds you in your current season?
I love podcasts that literally help to extend the word of God, because I believe that God set up teachers in the body. I already know what I know. So when I study the Bible, like it's like, unless God gives me revelation, it's already what I know. So I always make it a point to listen to other people's points of views, listen to how they study this and hear this and do that. I love to listen to debates.
Yeah.
Because it helps to solidify things that I have come to a conclusion with through the word. And it also has, I have changed my position on a lot of things.
Yeah. Is a good place to be when you're not so entrenched in all the things you think you know. And it's good to get perspective. And sometimes that perspective reminds you that, no, that is where I land still.
Yes.
And yeah, sometimes that perspective
does not
brings
change.
A shift.
Yeah. Yes, because, you know, I had my kids do these things because I was teaching them about cults. And how, because something had happened somehow, and we got into this conversation, and like, it's only dumb people that fall into cults. And I'm like, actually, no. So I went through and I showed them how it's actually real people that love God and have such a desire to follow and honor God. They're the ones that are targeted for cults. And we just went through this whole thing about learning about cults. Did you know that over 90% of cults are based in the scriptures, in the Bible?
Well, and it makes sense if you think about how the enemy twists things to sound really close to the truth.
Yes, and teaching them how, you know, the whole concept of, because God made us for relationships, that people are drawn to community. And what a cult is, it's a twisting of true community. So it was, my mom was like, why would you teach that to your kids? And I'm like, why would I not? Because the thing about having kids who have addictions is that sometimes they bypass markers that are like, stop, 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 stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So teaching them, okay, that's what happens with addictions and cults, is that they ignore those markers because they want something more. They want community more. They want to serve God more. They want to keep their families together more than the warnings that they have received.
What is a current hobby that you're enjoying right now?
I think it's making this big charcuterie board.
Making the big charcuterie board. Yeah. How often are you making those?
Well, I think like it's like once a month. This month will be like, I would have made 3 this month. And then next month I'll just make one. But it's like the intricacy of each one of them. Like every month I have a different something. And like that's so funny. This has always happened to me, like during my week, that I'll be speaking or thinking about something and it always comes full circle. I'll have spoken or thought about it twice and spoken to somebody else about it. I was talking to one of the ladies at our church and she's like, yeah, like what you do is so different. I've never seen it like that. And I said, yes, because that's my trademark, that people come in and they expect a charcuterie spread, but they're blown away by what they saw.
Yeah, it's a lavish, abundant charcuterie board that you put together.
Oh, thank you, Kristen.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Thank you.
Looking back at your previous season, Jillian, what was most helpful or useful for you?
Grace. I don't think I walk this whole thing with my family and electronics well. And there is always a tendency to be like, but these kids are, or these people are. And the Lord's like, you know, they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. So I have grace today to be able to see how I could help my kids. I have grace today to see how I could walk this with such humility that it helps them see what God has for them.
Yeah, having grace for your kids and grace for yourself in your parenting is big.
Yes.
We all need it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do a quick little rapid fire?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So answer these questions in a sentence or so. What are you reading right now?
Lee Strobel, See the Supernatural. Seeing the Supernatural.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
Pray.
What's the last thing you do at night?
Pray.
You are a prayer, that is for sure. What is saving the day right now? A life hack, a habit, a ritual?
Notes on my phone.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, getting it out of your brain.
Yes, uh-huh. Notes on my phone.
What is something that people get wrong about you?
That I am too forceful.
You're overwhelmed, caught in a moment of anxiety or stress. What's the first thing you do?
Angry Birds. Deep breath, deep breath, deep breath, deep breath.
My kids will do the goat from Ferdinand. In, out, in, out. Yep. Deep breaths. What is your favorite time of day?
In the morning, before everybody else is awake.
Yeah. What are three things that you're grateful for?
My husband. I should start with the grace of God. Definitely the grace of God. It is always something. The grace of God, my husband, and my children. Yeah.
Describe an ordinary, everyday moment that brings you joy.
Honestly, washing dishes.
Yeah. It's kind of delightful to just sit at the sink, really.
Yes, yes, yes. It's like my mini manicure. My hands feel amazing. The water is hot.
Yeah. Is there anything else? What did we forget to talk about?
I think this right now, this moment is what God wants for us. And because it's flowed so well, I think that this is what the Lord had for us.
Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for saying that.
Yes.
And I hope you have a good rest of your day.
And thanks for your calm demeanor. It's very calming. I wish everybody could just sit in your presence.
Oh, you're so sweet. It's not always that way.
Well, praise God. Makes you one of us.
Yeah, my family probably sees a little bit less of the calm. All right. Well, it was great hearing your story and having you sit, Jillian. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Thank you so much, Christine.
Yeah.
Many blessings upon you and your listeners.
Thanks.
A huge thank you to my guests for taking time out of their busy lives to sit for a conversation with me. It's a delight, joy, and privilege to have you join me. The Mostly Mom Podcast is a production from Ordinary Everyday Studio. Find us on Instagram and online at ordinaryeveryday.studio. Audio and editing by Logan Tomorrow. Thank you for listening.